Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I thought he had a great, great command, understanding the game plan, understanding how they were trying to attack him. You know, he knows he didn't play his best games, the previous ones, right? And I thought his detail, his preparation, not that there was he wasn't doing a good job of that before, but I thought he just honed in on some of his details, his techniques, his mechanics as we were kind of rolling. And, we saw the ball go in the rim early in the first drive. And, you know, after that, you knew he was in full control. And, you know, no matter what I called, he was going to find a way to make it work.
Yesterday that like he sometimes has a feel when he knows he's like locked in, so did you notice that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes you can see him pregame, sometimes you can see just early in the game by the ball placement, or the, you know, how he's seeing, how he's feeling. Sometimes it's after a hit, you can kind of, you might need to get him hit a little bit. Hopefully it's not a sack and it's a run, but I felt in the box, I think you can tell a little early, like kind of where he was, and, you know, had a good feel and pulse of how the game was being played and how they were going to play him. And I thought he was outstanding last night.
Hey, Joe, Dalton had a really efficient game, a productive game, still with a relatively low snap count, though. What went into that?
Yeah, I think, I don't think we go into the game. I think I thought the Carolina game, I think, was just I think that's a definite outlier just with the way the game was played last night. I think it was just a product of, you know, some of the type of runs that we were kind of going with. He might not necessarily have been on the field for. We have obviously a good amount of runs with him in, I got to do a better job of making sure that I'm getting to those, that, you know, just getting him on the field. But, you see how dynamic he is on the field when he's on the field, right? And, so it's obviously a combination of, I don't want to say managing his load, but making sure that we obviously have him all year. But I obviously got to make sure I get him on the field more, because as you guys saw last night, good things happen when he's out there. And it can't be when he's out on the field, circle Dalton Kincaid, because, you know, there's makes it look like we're going to him when he's out on the field. So I got to continue to evolve and do a better job of getting him involved where it's, the balls aren't necessarily just going to him, but he's out on the football field. I wouldn't say load management. I'd say sometimes it's more of, we go throughout the week of, you're tagging plays, you're trying to be mindful, and you think you have a good balance of how many plays a guy might run and kind of roll with. And we do that for all the tight ends. Sometimes it's just a matter of, as the game's going, the kind of scheme that we were a little more intentional after the Carolina game, coming off the injury from Atlanta. But I think he's in a good place right now that I don't think there's any issues with. And I think some of that last night was just a product of me not, getting to some of those runs by the way that they were kind of playing last night. We got to some down in the red zone with some of the tempo that he was involved in, but because he's done a good job in the run game when he has been in there this year. So I don't think it was a load management thing as opposed to with regards to last night, as opposed to me just not kind of calling those plays or getting to them.
Is it a coincidence at all that he misses the Atlanta game, he's kind of getting ramped back up in the Carolina game, looked like he was 100%, and the pass game looks the best it has since before his injury? Is it fair to say that he means that much to the pass game?
I mean, no, he means a lot to it. I don't think any one player is going to you hope that our pass game isn't just surrounded by, hey, only one guy being out there, but he's a huge piece to it. Obviously him not being there Atlanta game was impactful. I didn't do a good enough job in the Atlanta game, you know, from a, once he wasn't playing, you know, calling that game. I think he did a great job last night. I thought Josh, I thought the receivers, I thought everyone understood the way that the game was going to get played and the game plan. And, we were able to be two dimensional. It's nice to see you not in a boot. We were able to be two dimensional, and I think that allowed it to it. He's obviously a great football player, and he's so important to us. But I like to think that you know, we're not just revolving around one guy.
How does that two dimensional aspect make it so much harder on a defense to defend you guys?
Yeah, I think anytime, you know, if you try to live in just being able to run the football, and you don't have a pass element to it, it makes the run game really hard. And if you only have a drop back game or a pass game and no run game to it, at some point there's going to come a point when a team figures you out or can play a certain type of coverage or a defensive structure that makes it tough to do whatever that is you want from a pass game or run game standpoint. So staying ahead of the chain, staying on schedule, staying, you know, in a two dimensional allows us to be able to be in situations where they got to figure out, is this a run or is this a pass, both under center and in the gun. When you get into situations where it's a little more predictable, it's obviously harder for us to get out of. And so I thought we did a really good job in the get back on track situations last night to stay ahead of the chains or to get into manageable third downs that we didn't do against Atlanta. But we were two dimensional for the most part in the game, and that allows us to kind of stay ahead of the chains and feel good about, you know, kind of what we're getting and where we're going.
Where has Kincaid improved and how he can be dynamic in the offense?
I think, you know, it's his growth and understanding how guys are playing him. I say the same thing, you know, with regards to Keon. And guys always get a feel of, hey, when they're in the league, hey, this is what I did in college, and I'm developing release plans, developing how guys are going to play me, not just what I'm seeing on tape, and how are they going to put their hands on me? Are they going to be physical into the route? And he has such good nuances in his route game. And understanding what we're trying to get out of it. And I think he has a good feel. Josh has a good feel for how he runs routes, how he speaks to him. When he's out there, it obviously helps us. And I thought the tight ends just in general last night were outstanding. I thought all of them, I thought they were the players of the game. And, you know, and Dalton's obviously was a huge piece of that last night.
What else goes into the game? They were the players of the game. Like, it's a really good game. So, like, why do you want to signal that out?
I thought what we were able to do in the run game last night, you watch Reggie Gilliam in the run. I include Reggie in kind of the tight end kind of room, you know, but you were able to see, you know, all of those guys all contributed in the pass game. And then in the run game, we put those guys in so many tough situations. And I know it looks like, hey, we get a lot of situations, especially in some of the 13 personnels, 22 personnels that, man, there's a lot of chess match with it of not knowing exactly how teams are going to play it because it doesn't show up on tape for a lot of the opponents and us. And you put a lot on those guys' plates of figuring it out. And or, hey, we get a couple looks. Hey, we go back to the sidelines. This is how we think they're playing it. And we got – there's such an – it's such an – their Coach Boris does an incredible job coaching them, but they're such an intelligent group that they don't blink and they can handle, hey, nickel structures, base structures. We went against Miami. We got goal line last time we played. Like – and those guys don't kind of blink. In a game like that yesterday, it was so important to establish the line of scrimmage. And I thought, you know, we were able to do that both in the run game and, you know, those guys did a good job protecting. And then we had some of the play action opportunities with them. And so, you know, we all know obviously Josh was outstanding and Josh is always outstanding. But when a room like that plays to the level they did, you know, it's huge for our football team.
As James Cook has gotten more experience the past couple of years, have you seen growth in terms of him setting up blocks? And what does that do for you guys as an offense in terms of your scheme and building off what your offensive line already gives you?
Yeah, I think he He understands how it's not just like our scheme, but he understands his defenses now, understands the different techniques when he's lined up there. It's not just, hey, I'm running, you know, a mid-zone play. I'm running a mid-zone play with a three technique to that side, and this is where the cut's going to happen. And, oh, I know how David Edwards is going to approach this block, and that's going to allow me to, you know, hey, I might take I might stretch this a little bit longer. And he's evolving his outside zone game. And, you know, I think Jimbo, his communication is at an all-time high in terms of communicating the type of runs that he likes, talking with the offensive line. I mean, he's in a really good headspace, and I think he has such a good feel both in the gun and under center of, like, you know, how to approach the blocks, how to make the cuts, how to set up the blocks. You know, he's playing at an extremely high level. We got to continue that.
What are you seeing from Gabe Davis since he's been back in the building? And when you first took over as offensive coordinator, I mean, obviously your history with mm-hmm. him, how do you feel like if he is given an opportunity, he can help you guys?
Yeah, I mean, I thought Gabe, when Gabe walks in the building, you know, his personality was huge for the wide receiver room just in general. And then when he's out of practice, you see him, you know, you see his juice, you see him moving around. It's been a while since he was able to play football. And so it was really cool to see, you know, any guy, anytime you take away, this is things that we love, and you don't get to do it for a while. When you get back out there, it's a great feeling. And it was cool to see him out there kind of moving around. You can tell he missed it. And I thought he did a really good job moving around. Look, we'll see where that kind of goes with it. But, when I took over the last time, we were in a process of, kind of still trying to figure out our identity. And, we were very, up to that point, kind of very dependent on, you know, our pass game was really just focused on, you know, certain spots. And, he was one of the guys that really, when we evolved our run game, especially in that year of really doing a lot of the dirty work that didn't get noticed. And he went some games without, there were some games where he didn't have catches, but he was the player of the game. And so, I thought Gabe, you know, we were excited, obviously, to get him back. Again, you know, we'll see where that kind of goes, but, he's been, you know, he's learning a new offense. You know, I know it's not the same offense, so him learning it, but he's doing everything the right way. It's been great to have him back.
I know you touched on earlier in the season, just Jackson Hawes' ability to block, but you guys ran a lot of 11 personnel last night, had success running the ball out of. How has Hawes's ability to block kind of elevated the entire team's maybe thought process on why they want to block well?
Yeah, it has to be important to our entire offense, everybody doing their job in the run game. You know, we focus on the touchdown blocks. We focus on the backside blocks. We focus on the, I mean, I thought you watch Khalil Shakir, you know, one of our best football players, how he was in the run game last night was incredible. The technique that he was playing, the finish, I mean, it was a lot of fun to see, a lot that, you know, needs to be showcased. And, you know, a guy like Hawes, he doesn't get a lot of love in the pass game. You know, I know Josh threw one to him yesterday. That was, I mean, it was a fastball. But I'm sure he wasn't used to that, but, he does such a good job. He doesn't blink. He doesn't really care or know who he's going against. And what I mean by that is they could be a Hall of Famer and he's just going to go out there and try to do his job. The run game has to be important to us and has to be important to all 11 on the field. The receivers has to be important to Josh carrying out his fakes, all of those things, because it just opens up everything else. And a guy like Hawes, who doesn't care if he gets a guy like Reggie Gilliam, Halsey, who they might not get a ball go their way the season, a game, a couple games, they're just like, hey, I'm going to do my job, and everything else will open up, you know. And so, he's been a huge add to our football team, and got to continue to grow him and get him. But, you know, we caught another ball yesterday, and that's one more ball that our Jumbo caught last year. And obviously I miss having Alec out on the football field, but Halsey's been a great add to our football team.
I follow you on X. And you don't tweet a lot, but you tweet after every game that you win 1-0. What's kind of like the idea behind that? Is that just like something where it kind of keeps that mindset at the forefront? And the second part of the question is, do you have your mentions on? Like, do you see what people maybe say to you?
Yeah, I'm probably not proud to say this. I actually don't have it. I literally just do 1-0 because for my own superstition. And I literally download it, put 1-0, delete it. I feel awful even saying that, but it's more for my superstition. I'm a little stitious, but no, it's more just a mindset to everything that we do. So no, I don't know what goes on in the world. I don't see my mention. Once I go football season, I don't know when trades happen. I don't know, I didn't know what happened, what was happening in the baseball season. I don't know what's going on. I'm just in my own little world over here. But no, I've always kind of been that way, because I feel like if I'm in my mentions, or if I'm reading, if I'm allowing outside noise to impact my play calling or to impact my decisions, then I'm not fit for the job. Naturally, you get into this profession, you always need a couple time. And if my brain's going in a different direction where I want to get on X, or I'm human too, that's not in the best interest of the Buffalo Bills, right? And so, no, I don't have that, but I do enjoy sending the 1-0s, because we put in a lot of work for that, and our guys have that mindset, and it's more of a stitious, a freaking stupid one, but a superstition for me.
When did it start, the superstition?
That's been my kind of mindset for as long as I can remember. I'm sure Elaine was part of it when I was there. Wasn't a lot of them in Carolina, but I used to do them in Carolina. But that's always been my mindset going into every week. It's like, hey, like driving home last night, you send it. It's like, all right, now let me do everything I can to go earn, try to do what I got to do to put our guys in position to go 1-0 next week. If we can do that, I'll be in a good mood, and hopefully I can download it again this week. Such a stupid thing. I'm embarrassed to say it, but I'm going to be honest.
You can remember your password.
Yeah, your password, like, save.
I'm sure it's probably auto-saved somewhere. I went a couple weeks, unfortunately, wasn't able to download it. So, I'm embarrassed to say it. But I'm going to be honest, we're rolling. I'm trying to find ways. The more 1-0s, the better things happen.
Dodgers won the World Series.
I did. I have learned to, I'm on the ESPN app a little bit more on the way home or whatever, just to see what's going on in the world. But all in a good place. As long as 1-0s are happening, good things are good in Buffalo.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.